Hey, can we give a round of applause for Jesus? Just stay standing for a moment. He deserves our praise and our honor, our adoration, our worship. We love you, God. We give you our praise, our glory, all the honor. You deserve it. It's yours. You just stay standing just for a moment. Holy Spirit, we invite you in afresh. You've been here all along. We just right now have a conscious awareness of you. We're so conscious that what we need in this room isn't just another talk or some cool motivational speech. We come with hungry hearts to hear from you, to hear from your Spirit. As we open your word, let he who has ears to hear, hear, eyes to see, see. Would you do deep works? Would your word bring encouragement, bring correction, bring guidance when necessary? And we do this all under the banner of your love. We thank you that you're a loving Father. We can find so much rest and so much joy, so much grace and forgiveness in you. We absolutely love you and we welcome your work right now, Holy Spirit. In Jesus' holy and precious name, God's people said, amen and amen. Hey, you can take your seat. So good to be with you. Hey, can you turn to your neighbor and say, don't fall asleep. I know you've eaten a lot of food. Just be like, hang in there. Hang in there. Don't fall asleep. If we have a sleeper in the room, just wave your hand in the middle of the session, right? Let me know. I'll bring the mic down, yell in their ear. You got one over there already? Cool, sweet. It's such a tremendous, tremendous honor and privilege to be on this platform. I really don't have enough adequate words to convey how much of an honor and privilege it is to be here. And all I've known is Pastor Joel and Sharon's leadership in the ACC movement. And so for me, all I know is unity. All I know is what I've grown up in. And I just want to give just a massive shout out to so many different people who've helped shape me on my journey, from Pastor John and Sarah Mosborian, who helped raise me as a young adult and helped guide me, to Pastor Dan Sheik, who takes calls from me randomly throughout the week, to Pastor Ken and Mel Fletcher, who handed on our campus. So many of you would know who they are in the room and pastorally cared and spoke into Jess and my life. To so many, Pastor Phil and Tracy McCourt, who've imparted into our campus, our church, our family, so many different people. Pastor Joel and Sharon, thank you so much for everything that you embody to the state. We go through shopping centers and you just come up and chat to us like you're a normal person. And we love it. And it's just the authenticity that you guys show. Thank you so much for all of that. And like I said, it's all I've ever known. And to my senior pastor, Pastor Ken and Chrissy Lee, thank you. Thank you. You've been with us in some high highs and low lows. And I just want to take a moment to honor you guys publicly for all the work you've done for Nations Church. Thank you so much for everything you've done. Let's get into it this afternoon. You guys doing well? You're doing good? I want to speak to you on a thought right now called increased intimacy. Increased intimacy. Intimacy is the experience of what we would know as being known and also being fully accepted. When you're intimate in a relationship, that person you feel a sense of closeness to, a sense of belonging to, a sense of depth that is unmatched anywhere else. If you don't have intimacy in a relationship, it might be classified as a fake relationship or maybe a shallow relationship. Throughout the Bible, we see patterns of people who had genuine, intimate, authentic relationships with God. Through the Old Testament, you may recall that we were introduced to this beautiful character of Moses. Moses was a friend of God. He met with him. The Bible tells us in the book of Exodus 33 that God would meet with him as a man meets with another friend. That he would make spaces, he would go up into the mountains and have these intimate moments, or he would pitch a tent and call it the tabernacle of meeting, and he would have these intimate moments where it was just him and God, him and God's presence. All throughout the Bible, this place or this phrase of intimacy was connected to this phrase or this connotation of staying. It's kind of counterculture to our society right now, isn't it? Because we live in a culture, and as ministers, as leaders, as pastors in the room, where it's about going to the next. It's about the next phrase or the next thing or the next cool thing to do with our church or the cool thing to do with our ministry or the societal expression that we need to have. It's about always moving, going to the next and the next and the next. But I want to suggest to you something wild. Maybe it's about staying. In a culture where it's all about going and moving, have we lost the art of simply staying? I want to encourage you, pastor and leader in the room, stay with him. Stay with his manifest presence. Abide in him. Live for him. Live for an audience of one. It will not let you down. It won't let you down. What I'm sharing with you this afternoon is really a life story of my own for the last 18 months. And so it might be a little bit rough at times, but it's something that Jess and myself have had to walk through in these last 18 months. And my prayer is that it would encourage you, it would uplift you, and at the end of the session, you would be more in love with Jesus than you were at the start of the session. I am 36 years old. Thanks so much, Lukey. And I know I might look 24, 25, but brown don't break down. You know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying? Pastor Joel July, Pastor Izzy, you know what I'm saying. Pastor Steve, yeah, you know, but you know what I'm saying. You know what I'm saying. But brown don't break down. So, you know, you might have some Caucasian problems on a Sunday morning, but I got brown problems. I carry a photo of my family on my phone. And it's not because I'm super sentimental. It's because when I meet people, they're like, oh, so you must be the youth pastor here, the kids pastor here. Straight away, phone's out. I got three kids. Look how old they are, 7, 5, 8 months. I've been married for 10 years. The life story comes out. Pastor Izzy, when I saw you get up on stage in shorts, I was like, man, who's this beautiful 18-year-old pastor who's taking on a church and Harvest Net? Let me tell you, brown don't break down. It don't. It doesn't. I'm not going to be allowed back, but that's okay, YOLO. But in all seriousness, you know, being involved in like ministry life for around 15 or so years, and I think in the last 12 to 18 months in particular, the sense in all our hearts is that there's never been such an anticipation and expectation for God to do something so wild, something so extravagant, something so glorious that we've really never really witnessed before. We've seen evidences of it in pockets, but there's this expectation in pastors and leaders everywhere that there must be more. On the Edge Conference is because of that. There must be more. We're on the edge of something. We're on the precipice of something. There's something more that we're trying to step into in the kingdom of God. Yet with all that is said, we've never seen such a falling away of pastors and leaders, dear friends. Friends who walk away from the faith, walk away from their callings. What is it that makes pastors go from being on the edge of revival, the edge of an outpouring, the edge of a great awakening, and only to find that instead of climbing up the mountain higher like Caleb, they fall off the edge of the cliff? What is it? I want to suggest to you this afternoon that it's potentially one of two things: a loss of intimacy with him, or intimacy in the secondary things that aren't the primary source. We live in a world of increasing KPIs and different measures in ministry and all these different things, and they're all good and great. And I'm so thankful for pastors, my senior pastors, Ken and Chris, who often teach us that numbers are a great measure, but they are a terrible master. Eugene Peterson speaks about it like this when it comes to our role as pastors. There's a corporate temptation in church which has the ability to transform pastors into managers more than ministers. I think one of the most important measuring rods for any pastor or leader in this room to ask themselves daily is, am I increasing in my intimacy with him? Because I can be more intimate today than I was with him yesterday. I can be more intimate with him tomorrow than I was today. I don't need another conference tomorrow to be more intimate. I don't need another altar call. What I need is to practice that intimacy in my own spaces, through my word, through prayer, through deep devotion with him. So the question I want to ask you this afternoon is, are you increasing in your intimacy with Him? Are you increasing in your intimacy with Him? Dallas Willard said this, as we increase our intimacy with Him, we are being more deeply formed by Him. I don't know if there's anyone in the room who wouldn't want to be more deeply formed by Jesus. We all want to be more deeply formed by Jesus. Let's jump into the text this afternoon. Mark chapter 3, 13 to 19. And He went up on the mountain and called to Him those He Himself wanted. And they came to Him. He appointed the 12 that they might be with Him, that He might send them out to preach, to have power to heal sickness, and to cast out demons. Simon, who He gave the name Peter, James, the son of Zebedee, John, the brother of James, who in turn He gave the name Boanerges, I think that's correct, that is sons of thunder, Andrew, Philip, Bartholomew, Matthew, Thomas, James, son of Alphaeus, Thaddeus, Simon the Canaanite, Judas Iscariot, who also betrayed Him, and they went into a house. The gospel according to this passage, this beautiful, wonderful, rich passage, Mark chapter 3. Jesus has been healing, and He's been healing on the Sabbath. So the commotion that He has caused crowds to throng to Him, come to Him, be around Him, press Him from all sides. So now He finds Himself with an option where to go next. So naturally, He retreats to a mountain to be with the 12, to be with His disciples, the ones that were going to see the gospel accelerated, the ones that would ultimately give their lives for the call of ministry, the ones that would see blind eyes eventually open, the ones that would see healings, supernatural outpourings, the ones who would see the very mandate of the kingdom of God advanced in their lifetime. These were the ones who He would gather together. Any sports fans in the room? Any sports fans in the room? I love NBA, I love AFL. So when I read this text, what I really want it to say is Jesus gathered the 12, He gathered them in a huddle, and He started giving them an inspirational pep talk. You know? Like Judas, you know, you're my boy, but you're gonna let me down in red time in the fourth quarter, right? Like, man, but you're good. You're good for almost four quarters, and that's okay. I can do with that, you know? And like Thomas, like, even if we're down by 70, you bro, stop doubting, we're still gonna go. And like John, you're my John, I love you. Bro, I love you. You are the captain. You're the captain of this team. You know, I want the pep talk. But the text doesn't give me any of that. It doesn't give me any of that. It gives me nothing. It just says that Jesus called to Him those who He Himself wanted, and they came to Him. I'm an accountant by background, and I like processes. I like procedures. I like systems. Any people in the room who like that, you're probably not pastors. Right? Let's be honest, you know, some of us are good at it, others, you know, business managers. But here's the thing, when I look in the text, I'm left reaching for something, so I kind of look at Matthew 10 as well to see what maybe Jesus said something, but clearly the author's trying to tell us something, that it wasn't so much about what Jesus said as it was about them just being with Him. And as an intellectual person, at times I try to be clever about things, grab things, but could it be that Jesus places a very high emphasis on simply being with Him? Pastor Joel this morning, Pastor Wayne last night, speaking about that it's time to return back to some simple priorities. Maybe it's time to return back to some simple priorities. We don't increase in our intimacy because of our clever strategies or our motivational abilities. We increase in our intimacy simply by being intentional with Him. So the disciples came to Jesus. Then they left. They came and then they left. What's the lesson here? Faithfulness in staying will lead to fruitfulness in going. Faithfulness in staying will always lead fruitfulness in going. Another way to say it would be like this: if we're faithful in the primary calling, then you will be faithful in the secondary calling. Make no mistake, pastor and leader in the room, your primary calling as a son and daughter of the Most High God is dependent on your intimate relationship with Him. Before you can make disciples, you've got to be a disciple. Before you can be baptized, before you can baptize others in the power of the Spirit, you've got to have a full immersion yourself and the Father, Son, and Spirit in your own life. My best thing I can give someone in my church is from a place of deep intimacy with my Heavenly Father. So when it comes to intimacy. I love what David says in Psalm 27, verse 4. He said, this was the one thing. The one thing I desired, the one thing I wanted was to inquire of the Lord, to be in His manifest presence, to worship with Him. There was nothing else that could do. This is a king speaking. There is nothing else in my life but to be in His manifest presence. That's such a beautiful thing to say, isn't it? It's a beautiful desire to have. Another way to say it when it comes to increasing our intimacy is this, that the fruit of being will always lead to the fruit of doing. The fruit of being leads to the fruit of doing. John 14, 12 to 14. Believe me, Jesus said, when I say that I'm in the Father is in me, or at least believe on the evidence of the works themselves. Very truly, I tell you, whoever believes in me will do the works I've been doing, and they will do even greater than these because I'm going to the Father. That's beautiful. And I will do whatever you ask in my name so the Father may be glorified in the Son. Jesus consistently modeled, it was his modus of operation, right? He consistently modeled intimacy with his Heavenly Father. Everything he did in life, he said, I do because I see my Father doing. Everything in his life was based on an intimate relationship with his Father. That's why the fruit of Jesus Christ has last 2,000 plus years. Because fake fruit comes from a lack of intimacy. But real, long-lasting kingdom fruit actually comes with being attached to the source. It comes being attached to the vine. That's real fruit. And it might not look like how you and I see fruit, but it's kingdom fruit. And it'll last the test of time. And I'd rather have fruit that lasts the test of time than fruit that looks great but lasts one day. And it's little wonder now that we're seeing across churches a call back to being people of character over people of charisma. Because we as a church are saying, hey, the fruits looked good for maybe 2 or 3 years, but I want long-lasting fruit. I want to disciple people. I want to present my church mature to Jesus Christ at the end of my life so you can say, well done, good and faithful servant. Has to be from a place of increased intimacy. So if we know that, if we know how important increased intimacy with His, then what is with Him, then what are some killers? What are some increased intimacy killers? Well, one of them is wrong order. In ministry, I think we can get the wrong order. We can be more intimate with the doing than we are with the being. And all of a sudden, we can believe that the fruit of doing somehow is reversed and leads to the fruit of being. And I think if we're honest, we've all been there because I've been there. If I can just get the service humming, you know, if I can just get, like right now, there's people in this room, you're already thinking about what you're going to preach on Sunday. Let's be real. Come on. If I can just get the service humming, if I can just get this ministry going, if I can just do this, then I'll have more time to spend with Jesus. I noticed something in my personal life. I'd spend time, you know, with Jesus in the mornings and just convey with the Holy Spirit and chat to the Holy Spirit and just be immersed in His presence. On the car ride to work, I'd do that. And I started to notice that I was taking work calls on the ride into work. And I was doing it because my rationale was, if I can do it now, then when I get to work, I can have more intentional space to spend with Him. But when you get to work, what's waiting for you at work? Work, right? Work, work. I think we've all been there. It creeps in slowly over time. It creeps in very slowly over time. And it can be innocent at first. It can slowly creep in. And then before long, we start asking this question, well, guys, why isn't there any power? Why aren't I seeing any power in the ministry that we're doing? Why aren't I seeing any power in what we're doing in our communities? Suddenly there's a lack of power in churches as opposed to what we read about in Mark chapter 3. Maybe it's because we got the order wrong. Maybe it's because we got the order wrong. There's the fruit of being that leads to the fruit of doing. And I know this might be a trigger for some because, like, kingdom work isn't bad work. It's actually marvelous work. It's great work. It's holy work. I pray that every person in this room has a desire to see His kingdom come. Like that you actually want to get out of bed in the morning and want to see people saved and make a decision to follow Jesus and people discipled on the journey and all nations baptized in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. I pray that this whole room lives and breathes that. Kingdom work isn't bad. It's the tension we wrestle with, which is, are we more intimate with the fruit of doing than the fruit of being? Are we more intimate with the fruit of doing than the fruit of being? Because doing isn't the issue. It's when the doing replaces the being that we have a spiritual imbalance in our lives. A spiritual imbalance in our lives. If you want to increase in your intimacy with Him, we have to get the order right. We have to get the order right. In 2022, my wife and I were blessed by a couple of friends, and they sent us to Pneuma Conference. And I promise this wasn't done just because, you know, Pastor Corey and Steve and Ali were here, I promise. I was thinking about how to word it when I was writing it because I didn't want to over-exaggerate, but I also didn't want to negate the kind of impact that it had on us. It was catalytic to our spiritual journeys. I think that would be a fair way to say it. Just the presence of God just so thick and tangible, and God spoke to us every single session. We were a mess, crying 24/7, and just God spoke to us through His Word and through different encouragement by people. It was absolutely incredible. So my curious mind wanted to know the secret. Come on, pastors, don't be like, oh, you do the same. You do. I was like, what's the secret? So we had some friends on staff and different people that we knew. And so we were like going to them because people were walking in off the street and getting like healed in the foyer. Like people were walking in and getting like incredible prophetic words. Like, that's so accurate. How'd you know? So we're like wondering, what's the secret? Like did Pastor Corey and Sim and the executive team and the leadership team and the pillars, did they pull you all together and was like, hey, this is what's going down. This is the pep talk. This is how we're going to do things. And each one gave us the same stupid, boring answer. It was so annoying. I was like, guys, we just spent time with you. I know you spent time with Jesus. I'm a Christian. I spend time with Jesus. Like, I'm paid to spend time with Jesus, right? And it just became apparent after speaking to them, person after person after person. They were more intimate with the fruit of being than the fruit of doing. More intimate with the fruit of being than the fruit of doing. And I hear a question that you might have running through your head right now. But is that enough? Is that enough? Is intimacy enough? Intimacy killer number two, is it enough? Because that was ultimately the same question posed in the Garden of Eden with Adam and Eve. Think about it. Two humans walking in full intimacy with God, fully naked, nothing to hide, walking with Him, walking with their Creator, saying everything, exposing themselves. Like there was vulnerability to the max. Like it was like everything done in that, like there was nothing to hide behind. This was as intimate a relationship as you could ever see. And the lie of the enemy was there's got to be something more. Surely this intimacy, surely it's not enough. Surely don't you want something extra? As if something extra to the beautiful intimate relationship you can have with Jesus is more important than what you have. And we trace the fallenness, which was a departure of man's intended intimacy with God. Now I want to speak to all you ENTJ, INTJ personality types. You got to work. I know it. You got to work. I hear you. You're like, guys, we got to do stuff. I hear you. Nations Church, we got stacks of campuses and three different countries that we run services in and different weeks, different meetings, mega meeting days, revival prayer nights, conferences, the list goes on. I hear you when you say stuff needs to go on. People in your database to care for, vision Sundays to have. Stuff still needs to happen. But it's interesting, and I found this in my own personal life, how often we hide behind that excuse because we're so scared to be intimate with Him. Because being intimate actually might require total vulnerability. It might require total vulnerability. And so it's funny how in doing stuff, we fill the void with other things because we're so scared to be with Him. And maybe that's why at times silence freaks us out so much. Or maybe it's because, like I said, being with him just requires total vulnerability. That was Adam's response, wasn't it? Total vulnerability with his creator. Intimacy breached, covers up. No more vulnerability. What I've noticed in my own personal life is this, that when intimacy with the manifest presence of God isn't enough, we start to add other things to fill that void. When intimacy with the manifest presence of God isn't enough, we start to add other things to fill the void. We had probably, I would say, our most significant conference this year, and this is just for me and Jeff, this is the world I'm in, so it's Nations Church, and we had Pastor Ben Fitzgerald minister across conferences, as well as some other incredible world-class speakers in James and Kate Aiton and Pastor Fred Porter. And but who's had Pastor Ben minister in an area they've been involved in before? Who's been in the room when he's been ministering? The meeting, it looks a little different. We were finishing up one session, the second last session, going into the last, and he was finishing up, and all of a sudden, this spontaneous prayer meeting broke out is the best way to describe it. I'm not talking about someone on stage with a mic praying. I'm talking about like he was sitting at the front of stage, and people all throughout PCEC, one of the rooms, from the front to the very back row were just praying. One person would go and yell out and pray, and then they'd stop, and then another person would go and yell out and pray. And it was just going and going and going. And the manifest presence of God was so beautiful. Like, it was tangible. It was, you could sense God's presence in the room. I had to do some stuff because I was taking care of some people, showing them to their seats and helping people come. And, you know, the services were changing over and I had to take care and host some people and doing stuff. And I found myself with this thought. I wish the real service would begin. It was a fleeting thought, but it was a thought nonetheless. As if the real service was anything but the manifest presence of God. I just remember in worship just repenting so bad. That day, the insecure part of me, the part that didn't really think being with him was suddenly enough, actually got exposed. And maybe I'm the only unholy one in the room, and that's okay. I'm okay with that. But I wonder, pastor and leader, have you ever found yourself in ministry in a situation like that? Like somehow being with him wasn't enough. Like simply abiding in him isn't enough. Like simply increasing in your intimacy with him isn't enough. God had to remind Abraham in Genesis 15, when Abraham had no heir, he had no son. And he said to him, "Hey, Abraham, need I remind you, fear not, for I am your exceedingly great reward." It's me. I am it. I am it, I am it, I am it, I am it, I am it. It would do ourselves so well in ministry to remind ourselves, praise God for the fruitfulness, praise God for the signs and wonders that have been and are still to come. Yes and amen. But even if I don't see that fruitfulness in this season of my life, I have to remind my soul that he is still the exceedingly great reward. He's still the exceedingly great reward. An increased intimacy killer. Another one is this, the temptation of fruitfulness. The temptation of your fruitfulness is a better way to say it. We understand that there is faithfulness in staying and fruitfulness when we go. As a church, we've had heaps of praise reports. Recently, we've seen heart irregularities return to normal, deaf ears open, visa applications suddenly approved, marriages on the brink of divorce restored, lost sons and daughters returning home, people coming to salvation. Like, we go on and on and on and on. And it's no surprise to us because we have an incredible prayer and intercessory team. Like, people who have at campus and 6 a.m. prayer meetings and people who take one day out a week to pray and fast for our church. Like, so it's no surprise to us that as we are faithful in his manifest presence, as we are faithful abiding in him, that the fruitfulness is coming. That's of no surprise. That's a kingdom principle. But the danger is when I start to align my ministry with the fruit and pull away from the source. The temptation is when you think that it is your fruit. When I think it's my fruit. We've heard this many times already. May as well say it for the third. John 15:5. If a man remains in me and I in him, he'll bear much fruit, for apart from me, you can do nothing. Pastor and leader in the room, let me lovingly encourage you. It would do ourselves well in fruitful seasons of ministry to remind ourselves that it is not our fruit. It's not our fruit. Put it on your phone. Put it on the back of a toilet door, wherever you need to. It's not our fruit. It's His fruit. It's His fruit. It's by Him alone. And when you start to think that it's your fruit, all of a sudden we become performance-driven and we start to chase the fruit instead of the one who gives the fruit, and then we have wrong motives setting in. Because all of a sudden, enough is never enough, right? Insecurity kicks in. And you might not see it in fruitful seasons, but when the fruit stops because it doesn't look like how you think it would look, oh man, ever been around an insecure leader? No, you haven't because you're all holy, but you know, don't lead out of insecurity, lead out of intimacy. Don't lead out of insecurity, lead out of intimacy. Little wonder why the Apostle Paul, great man of God, incredible signs and wonders, miracles coming from him in Acts 14, people looked at him as a god. They're like, man, you're doing great things. Can we come and worship you? He says, no. Turn your eyes, put them back on Jesus. Turn your eyes, put them back. The fruit is great. And if you want to partake in it, come and help me do the ministry of the Lord. But put your eyes back on Jesus and listen to his language. It's so stunning. We sang about it earlier today. Galatians 6:14. May I never be that I boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, through which the world has been crucified to me and I to the world. Paul did not fall for the temptation of the fruit. He always diverted people's eyes back to the one who gave the fruit every single time. Make absolutely no mistake, fruitfulness is a kingdom principle and it is guaranteed according to his word if we obey him. But we must never chase fruitfulness out of our own insecurities. Never chase fruitfulness out of your own insecurities. So what's some increased intimacy helpers in our lives? Well, from Mark chapter 3, we can find some keys. These are just a couple of them. But number one was place. Jesus called the disciples to the mountain with him. If you remember Elijah and Moses, the mountain was often a place of beautiful connection, was a place of intimacy, was a place of intentionality, was a place that was a getaway, it was a place of focus. It was a place away from the noise. It was deliberate and it was intentional. In Acts chapter 2, the Holy Spirit filled a house and then he filled the people. We see all throughout, in fact, the Synoptic Gospel of Matthew is beautiful. When Jesus spoke about prayer, he kept referring to a secret place. When Jesus taught the disciples how to pray, it's now where Jesus was in a secret place. Place matters. Places represent intentional spaces to meet with God. That is why intimacy requires intentionality. Intimacy requires intentionality. Here's the thing, ACCWA, there is no cheat code to intimacy with God. You heard it before, there's no cheat code. There might be a cheat code to fake fruit, there might be a cheat code to temporary satisfaction in ministry, but there is no cheat code to intimacy with God. Believe me, I've tried looking for it, like I'll be honest. But there is no cheat code to intimacy with God. It actually requires intentionality. It requires intentionality. Maybe it requires on a Sunday morning, instead of seeking God to get clarity on the message, just seek Him for Him being Him. Maybe it requires some different outlooks in your week. Maybe it requires a change of schedule. I don't know. But be intentional to increase your intimacy. Number two, increase intimacy. A beautiful helper shown through us in the text. Everything about the text. Mark chapter 3 points to Jesus. He went up the mountain. He called to himself who he wanted. He appointed the 12 that they might be with him, that he would send them out. Everything in the text points to Jesus. Be intimate with the primary source. Be intimate with the primary source. Let God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, pastor and friend in this room, be the most intimate relationship you have on the face of this planet. Let that be the most intimate relationship we have on the face of this planet. We've already heard this. I feel like I'm repeating a bunch of stuff here. Clearly, God's trying to get through to us. When you have increased intimacy with Jesus, you'll know it's real because it won't be burdensome. We've heard it already. It can't be burdensome. It is liberating because we live in a world where you need to know more, be more, see more, have more knowledge, be more required to be in your community, have more of everything. And it's a paradox of intimacy that actually to increase your intimacy, you don't actually have to do more. You kind of have to do less. And I'm not speaking about being lazy. I'm ethnic, I'm a brown dude. Laziness and me, we don't really mix, right? That's why a brown person is probably your doctor right now, right? I feel like that's right. I mean, I am, I can say that. But it's not laziness, it's just abiding. It's just being with Him. It's just giving Him your all, your attention. He's wonderful. He's holy. The maker of the heavens and the earth surely deserves it. He deserves everything in our lives. Intimacy isn't another meeting to attend. It's not a task to tick off. It's not heavy. I want to say this because this kind of liberated me in the last 18 months. You'll know whether your intimacy is primarily with Jesus because it will be less about sustaining and more about remaining. Because here's where my mind goes for church life, and it has been for so many years. Conference, 21 days prayer and fasting, Vision Sundays, different events in church calendar. My language after it goes, how do we sustain this momentum? You guys ever ask that question? How do we sustain this momentum? Maybe a better way to frame it is, how do we remain? Not just how do we sustain, but how do we actually remain? Another increased intimacy helper, the band can join me, is power. Power. Jesus sent him to preach, to have power, to cast out demons. I love being part of a Spirit-filled Pentecostal movement that loves the Holy Spirit and everything He has to give, the fruits and the gifts of the Spirit, that we don't have to operate in this world in our own power, but in the power of the Holy Spirit. That is good news. It's great news. Dr. Randy Clark wrote this in his incredible book called Intimacy with God. He summarized it as this: intimacy with God is measured by how you cultivate a life of deep friendship through obedience. Intimacy with God is measured by how you cultivate a life of deep friendship through obedience. In other words, the measure of intimacy in Mark chapter 3 is actually measured against disciples' obedience to go out and move in power. I want to submit to you a wild thought. Take it or leave it. That it's not really genuine intimacy if you don't have obedience to do what the Lord asks you to do. In fact, I would suggest it's just a crush on Jesus. Just a crush. You measure the intimacy between me and my wife by the devotion I have to her to do things that she asks me to do at times, whether I like it or not. That's how you measure our intimacy. At high school, you got crushes on people. Hey, Gareth, come to this, do this. I'm like, yeah, I'm not. The depth of relationship is not there. I don't really care. Yeah, whatever. It's all good. I'm not going to be a part of it. What a shame it would be to call this conference on the edge, knowing that we all, through the power of the Holy Spirit, have been called to be sent, and walk away from this session thinking that intimacy is just us sitting and receiving and singing kumbaya, right? It's not. I believe in all my heart, like I said before, we are on the edge. We're on the edge of we're on the edge of a revival. We're on the edge of a spiritual awakening in this nation, in this country. I believe, if I didn't believe it, I wouldn't be doing what I'm doing. I'd just be doing something else. I'd be some funny motivational speaker. But I believe with all my heart that we are on the edge. We are on the edge. It's more than just nice Sunday services that kind of tickles people's ears with funny stories. We're on the edge of seeing whole communities change. We're on the edge of seeing a great harvest, a great work to be done in the kingdom of God. We have to have faith to believe that. We have to. make no mistake, the desire of our heart should be in fruitfulness and going, absolutely. But it only comes by a faithfulness and staying. We need to have an increased intimacy with Him. We need it. Our churches need it. Our families need it. I want to encourage you, pastor, in the room, that your church, the spiritual atmosphere of your church, is only as deep as your level of intimacy with Him. There's no shortcut. I learned that the hard way. There's no shortcut. Your ministry is only as deep as your level of intimacy with Him. Today is just a beautiful reminder to come back, to have an increased intimacy with Him, to be more intimate with Him tomorrow than you were today, next week than you were this week, next year than you were this year. More in love with Jesus. Be more intimate with the primary than you are at the secondary. Be more intimate in the being than you are in the doing. Be faithful in staying so that you can be fruitful in going. Amen. You just stand to your feet all across this place. Thank you so much for listening to the Word of God. You just bow your heads and close your eyes. If you're comfortable with it, just as a sign of surrender and allowing the Holy Spirit to do something in your heart right now, just lift your hands to heaven. I'm just going to allow the Holy Spirit right now just to minister to you whatever maybe stuck out to you from that word, that message. And I'm simply going to ask just the musos to play softly. That's all. Why don't you open your ears? Why don't you allow the Holy Spirit to highlight some things in your life right now? Sometimes we're uncomfortable in silence, but I find that's when God does His best work through His Spirit in our hearts. Just 1 minute, do business with the Holy Spirit right now. Questions with every head bowed, eyes closed. These are just questions to help examine your heart. How's your intimacy with God? You found yourself being more intimate with the fruit than the one who gives the fruit. Maybe you aren't seeing a demonstration of power in your ministry or your church and you're wondering why. Maybe it's just time to be. Maybe you've been so driven by this question, how do I sustain this? Or maybe it's time to reframe that. How do I remain? Maybe if you're honest, there's been some leadership moments out of insecurity and not out of intimacy. I've been there. Maybe today is simply a moment of repentance. I've asked the band simply to play softly. What I'd love to do. If you need to leave your seat, go to the side aisles, come to the front altar, whatever you need to do, kneel, stand, stay in your seat, it doesn't matter to me. But coming to the altar is an act, a physical response to something He's doing deep inside. And if you're just saying, I got a health check, a spiritual health check right now, and I want to increase my intimacy with You, Jesus, I'm sorry for all the times it's been in the secondary, would you leave your seat, come out to the altar or go to the sides of the church right now, just leave your seat, just do business with God. We're all family right now. We all need this. No one's got anything to gain. No one's got anything to gain. No one's going to pray for you this afternoon before we finish this session. This is between you and God. This is between you and the Holy Spirit. If you're in your seat, you can just kneel, go to the side of the auditorium. Just have an intentional space, please. Please have an intentional space right now. Oh, how we love You, how we love You, how we love You, how we need more of You. Holy Spirit, guide us, strengthen us.